Well, as we all know, God has a plan, and it's his plan, it's not our plan. And he's revealed to us a basic outline of his plan, and it gives us sort of an advantage in one sense. And God is going to put some godly leaders in his government, and God will be very careful about doing that. I think we all realize, maybe more so now than ever before, how important leadership is. And I would imagine that when maybe all of us or most of us came into the Church of God, we probably didn't even think about or realize or even know that the first fruits were going to be leaders. I don't think I did. I don't remember ever thinking that when I first came into the church. But leadership, as we know, and I think we probably should know better now in this time of history, in this country especially, how important leadership is. Scriptures and some comments about motivation. Now, I'm not a big motivational speaker kind of a fan. They seem to tend to rely a lot on emotion. Nothing wrong with emotion, but when it comes to motivation, you know, you get all worked up over the speaker, and then 3 hours later, you forgot what he said. Not really, but I'm not a big fan of motivational speakers, although they have their purpose and place. You know, our number one goal and motivation should be to seek God's kingdom first. That should be our first priority. And we know that flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. I personally think whenever it mentions that, the kingdom of God is referring to first fruits, because flesh and blood will not be in the kingdom, although they will be in, for instance, during the millennium. Flesh and blood will not be part of the kingdom of God, but they will be within, they will be living among the kingdom of God. And I think it's important to realize for us that when a group or a person doesn't understand that this is not the only time of salvation, it makes it virtually impossible to connect a lot of the dots when it comes to some of the scriptures that God inspires. If we don't understand, if we don't believe that this is not the only time of salvation for most of mankind, then it's really impossible to put some of the scriptures together and connect the dots. And so it's very important to keep that fundamentally in mind, that concept that this is not the only time of salvation. You know, I'll read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. It talks about that concept. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And I think every time we come to Pentecost, there's a number of times that someone might mention that Christ is the first of the first fruits. Christ is the first of the first fruits. And so the scripture talking about Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And that's very important. Also in Jude, the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 14, I'll just read from my notes, chapter 1, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of saints. So it's important to realize what God is doing and his timing. And it's also important to realize that we have to be motivated. Again, we don't earn our salvation. We don't earn our salvation through works, but we do have to be motivated to learn and to grow and grow in God's way of life. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, this is in the Message Bible. I think it says it, makes the point a little clearer. And it says, "But be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise and spring on you suddenly like a trap." And so, also in Luke 21, verse 36, it says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." So, Bev listens to Mr. Shaby a lot, and he has a message chat after his Bible studies, I guess. And somebody asked him whether he believed in a place of safety. And he said, well, maybe they asked, does United have a policy about or doctrine about the place of safety? And apparently United doesn't. He said, well, but my own personal opinion is that I do believe in a place of safety. So it seems pretty clear to me as well, my own personal opinion. It says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Well, read that as you will, but it's important to realize, you know, it doesn't make any difference how soon. Let me finish my thought. It shouldn't make any difference when Christ comes back. However, being human, it does. I mean, most of us have played sports, and towards the end of the game, if it's a close game, we're more motivated in one sense, and you can apply that particular principle to anything in life. As we get closer to the end and we believe that we are, then there tends to be more motivation. You know, a number of us that have been around for 50 years or 45, 50, 60 years, we remember that when we first came in, 1972 was the year for the place of safety. And some people call that the great disappointment in the Church of God. And it was. A lot of people after that didn't happen. They left. So their motivation wasn't really accurate. And so because it wasn't, they decided they didn't want to be a part of the Church of God. You know, motivation is a very important concept. Motivation, intent. You know, motivation is probably strengthened a little more than intent. We can have good intentions, but maybe our motivation is not very strong. And so it's important to realize that, you know, there's an old phrase we've all heard that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I paraphrase that particular phrase and I say, the road away from being a first fruit is paved with good intentions. You know, we know nobody goes to hell in the sense that most people believe hell, but the motivation is very critical, and it should have some emotion involved, but mostly it should have a strong belief in what you think is what you believe is going to happen. So it's important to realize that motivation is incredibly important. And I've noticed since retiring about 3 years ago, I can spend some days without any motivation at all. I just can't. And it's something that actually, as you retire, I think it is easier in most days to really focus on things that are important, because you don't have to go to work You don't have to take care of your kids necessarily. You know what I'm saying. But retirement is a critical time, and God, I think God really sees what we are about in our retirement. But there are times when all of us, whether we're working or whether we're retired or whatever, there are times when it's hard to be motivated. Growth comes over time. We need time, and God understands that. He understands, yeah, okay, yeah, that day was kind of a waste. But we take baby steps, don't we? We take baby steps, and as long as we're growing overall, and as long as we're putting on more and more of God's Spirit, that's what God wants to see. He wants to see that. It's very important. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. I already read that. The idea of being motivated, I think we all have different ways we're motivated. You might be motivated to get a better job. You might be motivated to learn a hobby or learn a skill or whatever. But the most important motivation is being motivated to put on God's mind, spirit, and character. That's very critical. And if God sees that, and God sees it all, you know, sometimes we think we can, from our perspective, we can see what people are about. Sometimes we can. But sometimes we're wrong on our perspective. But God sees it all. He understands our intent, our motivation. He knows exactly how to make that judgment as to who's going to be the first fruits, the leaders in his government. And he's not going to make a mistake. He needs people that are going to be honest and humble and teachable and have learned his way of life and have grown. And we all start at different levels. We all have to grow in our own time and in our own way. And we all have our different abilities and skills and weaknesses. So it's important to realize that God sees that all. He's not fooled one second. God sees that all. You know, motivation, just to get back to a little bit about motivation. Motivation can be good. It can be bad. Same with intent. Satan was motivated to be like God. And his motivation went too far. Adam and Eve, apparently, maybe because of deception, they thought they could be like God in deciding what's right and what's not. And so motivation can be good. Even our intent, that's a good intention, can be ungodly. If our motivation and our intent are not based on God's law, his way of life, and it doesn't agree with God's word, that good intention, that good motivation is not godly. And God sees that, and he understands, you know, he understands how humans think, and he realizes that even with good intentions, we can go way off. I mean, let's face it, most of Christianity, in the sense of understanding God's plan, most of the people are well-intentioned, and their motivation is to, whatever it is, go to heaven or whatever it is. But that intention and that motivation is based on an ungodly idea or concept or belief. The same with once saved, always saved. Now, it's actually true. Once we're saved, we are once saved, always saved. You know, years ago, they would say that once anyone is saved, then they're saved. But we're not saved just because we believe in Christ or God. We have growth We need growth to show to God that we are willing to obey him. And it's interesting, I'll sort of close to a certain extent with a couple of scriptures that I think are interesting. And you might want to think about these scriptures because they are important. Again, motivation. I think it's important to think about motivation. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, trees, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed. And it's talking about the 144,000. And then later on in that same chapter, Revelation 7, verse 9, it says, after the 144,000 are sealed, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So it's important to realize that just as it says about Noah's time, you know, Noah and his family were living in an awful time. And I think we can honestly say that we're living in abnormal times. There's a lot of stuff going on in our country and around the world that is just not normal. Now, has human nature changed one whit? No. Human nature has not changed one whit. But there's more opportunity for human nature to come out with the technology, with all the things that we have today. And so it's important to realize that. It's important to understand that, as it says in Noah's day, they were, I'll just reread what I read towards the beginning, because it kind of explains what's happening today in one sense. If I can find it. Again, Luke 21, verse 34, "But be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping." Well, that sort of describes where we're living, just like in Noah's day. "Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise." That's something to think about. That particular day is going to come as a surprise. And so you have to put the dots together. You have to connect the dots. God doesn't put any word in the Bible that he doesn't want us to try to understand. And we won't understand all of it. So it's important to connect the dots, to think about why God put these scriptures that maybe are not so easy to understand. Try to connect those dots. Here a little, there a little. And use logic in connecting those dots. It's important. God's Spirit will help us do that. And I think one of the things we need more today than, well, maybe not ever, but one thing we need today is we need encouragement. We live in a time of tremendous discouragement. You know, if you read what's happening and you read how things are going on in the world, a lot of people are very discouraged, and they don't know what's going to happen next. And so we have to look at that and say, well, what does that mean? What does that mean that people are so discouraged? And God says to look up. He says to look at his plan and to realize that that plan is going to be fulfilled. And he's got a great plan for all of mankind, and so we need to keep that in mind as well.